We learned yesterday that it says in the Talmud that the Megillah can be read on the 11th of the month. We explained that already yesterday. Now we're continuing saying that also on the 12th. B'shnemasar, on the 12th, Ramaz al Ofen Hasheni al Limud HaTorah HaKdusha is hinting on the second way of learning the Holy Torah. Yeh baderech hazeh dahaynu lamshich kulo rachamim. Shelo yitzarech lamdakat adinim. If you remember, we said that there are two types of tzaddikim. That's how we started the Ma'amar yesterday. One tzaddik is the tzaddik that is sweetening the judgments. And the other type of a tzaddik is that he's pulling his all mercy. He just pulls mercy and he doesn't even need to sweeten the judgment. It's just rachamim. So the first Ma'amar that we learned was corresponding and hinting about the tzaddik that has to sweeten the din. We mentioned the very equivalent. You see how we kind of parallel between the Noam Elimelech and Levi Yitzchak von Berdichev. By the way, you know that they were sitting next to each other in yeshiva, same yeshiva. So that's my addition, that they were sitting next to each other. But nevertheless, they're coming from the same yeshiva. Levi Yitzchak von Berdichev and both the Noam Elimelech, Elimelech from Lizhansk, they both were studying in the yeshiva in Mazrij, of the Magid from Mazrij. So there's a good chance they sat next to each other, rubbed shoulders. So we see, happens to be Ashgacha Pratit, that both Ma'amarim that we're learning, even though we're talking about completely different two things, both are mentioning the same idea that about the 11 powers of the Sitra Acha. Here we see in this Ma'amar, we learned it yesterday, that there are 12 semimanim spices to the incense. Yes, 11. And we mention them every time we read the Mishnah of Ezu Mekoman. We say, Atzariv, Atziporan, Achelbona, Alvona, Mishkal Shivim, Shivim Mane, Moru, Ksia, Shebolet Ne'erd, Charko Mishkal, etc. These are the 11 semimanim corresponding to the 11 powers that the Sitra Acha has. And then we explained why they covered the Mishkan specifically with 11 sheets of goatskin. And now we learned before in the Ma'amar of the Levi Yitzchak von Berdichev also about this 11, the number 11. Here in the other Ma'amar we were explaining why specifically we make Adar the leap year. Because Adar, we just gave a whole explanation before, no need to repeat it. But again, we find this number again of 11. So we know that the Sitra Acha, the other side of holiness, has 11 powers. So when comes it, there's one type of a tzaddik that he knows how to sweeten the judgments. Meaning the judgments that are coming from the Klipa, from the Sitra Acha, then this specific tzaddik, he knows how to sweeten the judgments. Therefore, the hint in the Gemara, talking about that you can read the Megillah on the 11th, it's referring to that type of a tzaddik, how he sweetened judgments. Each tzaddik has a certain character trait and a certain power. So here it's referring to a certain type of a tzaddik, that his power, his character trait is to sweeten judgments. Now we're talking about a different type of a tzaddik. Remember, we talked about two. The Gemara comes and says, you can also read the Megillah on the 12th. And actually, we're reading it on the 14th. But nevertheless, we're going to get to it because there's difference of opinion. The 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th, and the 15th. These are different opinions. So, specifically on the 12 ones, it's hinting about learning the Holy Torah in the way that all that I do is just pulling rachamim. Hamshachat rachamim. I'm not sweetening judgments. Rather, I'm arousing mercy. And just to say as a side note, when the Noam Elimelech refers to a tzaddik, unless he really emphasizes it referring to the tzaddik emet, it's talking about us. The Noam Elimelech is very kind, and he calls us tzaddikim. So in most of his ma'amarim, when he's referring, he says the word tzaddik or tzaddikim, he's referring to us. V'amech kulam tzaddikim. We all have a potential of a tzaddik. Although this verse, it says, "V'amech kulam tzadikim," it's referring to the future. It's not referring to the past or the present. It's referring only to the future. But nevertheless, we all have the potential to become a tzaddik. You know, sometimes you go to the kindergarten, not the kindergarten, to the playground, you'll see a lot of tzaddikim. The mothers call their three-year-olds, the five-year-old, "Tzaddik, come here, we're going home, tzaddik." The guy's a menace. Yeah, the four-year-old is a menace. He's a disaster, but his mom calls him a tzaddik. But nevertheless, there are many tzaddikim amongst us. You go in the street, people will call you, "Tzaddik, bo tashlim minyan, come and help us with the minyan." No, I prayed already at home. So nevertheless, the Noam Elimelech is very, very kind. He calls us tzaddikim. So one tzaddik is referring to a person that his avodat Hashem is to sweeten judgments. And it's very, I was about to say it's very easy to sweeten judgments, but I'm taking it back by saying it's not easy to sweeten judgments. It's easy because we know what to do in order to sweeten a judgment. Do a good act of kindness. Do a positive act, you're sweetening the judgment. So, but technically it's easy. Practically, to sweeten judgments, you need to put a lot of effort. But this is one type of serving Hashem, and it's called learning the Torah in a way that the effect that I do is to sweeten the judgments. I now, chas v'shalom, I did something wrong, and I catch myself. I lied, I cheated, I said lashon hara, I did something, and I catch myself. And I do tshuva right away. And the Talmud explains that there are three types of averot. One avera is then when I don't do, when I do, negative mitzvah, which sounds funny to say when I do a negative mitzvah, when I don't do it. I mean, there's many negative mitzvot, and not to mix meat and dairy, not to wear wool and linen, not to, don't steal, don't kill. When I don't do, or when I actually do negative mitzvah, the Gemara says, all I need to do is to do tshuva, omed sham, velo zaz. He stands there till he gets forgiven, and that's it. That's the whole story. Do tshuva. Now, if a person chas v'shalom didn't do a positive mitzvah, then he has to do tshuva, and I actually mixed up the order. It's the other way around. When a person does a negative precept, then it says oseh tshuva. Tshuva puts the sin on hold. And Yom Kippur washes the sin away. And with a positive mitzvah, then Omed Sham Ad Shenimchalo. He just does tshuva, and as long as he's stubborn, then it will be forgiven. But then, of course, there are severe sins that fall under the category of Mita Bidei Shamayim, death by the heavenly court, or Karet, that the soul gets chopped off. Then the tshuva puts the sin on hold. And Yom Kippur also doesn't help for that. It says tshuva ve'yom kippurim tole. The tshuva and Yom Kippur puts the sin on hold, meaning that there's no persecution right now. Ve'isurim emarkim. Then has to come hardship, and the hardship washes off the blemish. But nevertheless, if I do now a sin and I catch myself right away, that's the greatness one can reach to. That you right away realize that you did something wrong. And you right away can rectify it. You said a lie, right away you can say, no, I didn't mean that. It came out by mistake, I'm sorry. This is the truth. Or whatever it is. Now when a person does tshuva right away, and he reverses the situation, now right away there was a judgment. Instantly, it's faster than Google. You do a sin, right away there's a prosecution from the world above. It doesn't take 24 hours to process. It's not the bureaucracy you have in the government offices. That it takes time to file the lawsuit. You just said one word came out of your mouth, right away there's a prosecution. But you catch yourself, you do tshuva, now you have to sweeten the din. So in the olden days, they used to bring a korban. The korban didn't serve, a korban is a sacrifice, they didn't serve to atone. The korban came as to sweeten the deal. Like you have a fight with your wife, the next day you'll buy her some chocolates or flowers or whatever she likes eating. So chocolate flowers. Yeah. So flowers in the taste of chocolate. I didn't mean she eats the chocolate flowers. I said, oh, you bring her chocolate flowers or something she likes to eat. You know, chocolate or some sweets, whatever. You feel bad that you screamed at her. At least I hope you feel bad. And you want to appease, so you bring a box of chocolates. So we used to bring a korban. Now that we don't have korbanot, then we have to do a certain act to sweeten the judgment. So I can give some charity, go help another person, and many other things. So here we're referring to a level of the service of Hashem that I don't sweeten the judgment. Rather, I arouse such a high level of mercy that it overpowers everything else. And this is called lehamshich kulo rachamim, that I'm pulling only mercy. So I don't have to sweeten the judgments because the mercy overpowers everything. It says in the Midrash, b'shat matan Torah b'Sinai, when the nation of Israel were standing around the mountain in the giving of the Torah, the nations of Israel got to such a high level of godly revelation, such an exposure of high level, they saw the angels carrying the chair that is called the chair of the chariot. You know, I never seen it with my own eyes, but you see it in movies, in maybe tribes or older kingdoms, that the king is sitting on a chair and the chair is sitting on some platform, and they're lifting up the platform and they're walking with it.
Helix, phallic. There's a term for it based, I think, off of Latin or Greek, unfortunately, called phalanx or something. It's phonetically similar to phalanx, which is a classical Greek military structure of men with short spears. But this is particular, like it would have, similar to how the ark was carried, except it was a chair instead.
Exactly. So they, the nations copy exactly how we saw it, and we literally, you're right, that's how they carried the ark. But the Matan Torah, we saw how the angels are carrying this platform. It's called Merkava, and on it was the chair carrying the Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'aya, sorry. V'aya b'chol tzad gimel malachim. Each side was holding three angels, totaling to 12 angels. Miyad ayu mitavim litgalim. Right away, they had some type of a desire for flags. Okay. Vetziva lehem Hashem itbarach sheyasu lehem dalet degalim. Right away, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, so make yourself four flags. Why did they have this? This is what the Midrash says. They saw the angels carrying the platform, three on each side, four sides, made it 12 angels. Right away they said, ooh, we want also. We want, like a little kid, you're taking him into the store. Oh, I want that. Shasem says, okay, so make yourself four flags. This is what the Midrash says. Matam, what's the reason for that? Shehayata avatam utshukatam latgalim. What caused them to have a desire to a flag? ומחמת שראו גודל אהבה הנעימה והנחמדה של המלאכים. Yeah, that's what we're referring to.
Called the leader, actually.
Leader? That's what it's called? The leader?
L-I-T-T-E-R in English.
L-I-T-T-R? Leader?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's equivalent. That's where they got the idea. But nevertheless...
Also, it's where the word sedan comes from as well.
Sedan. That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sides, yeah. Luxury. So, nevertheless, why did they have this desire for the flags? Because they saw the great love. And he describes it, ne'ima ve'nechmada, pleasant and nice. The angels had such love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the souls of the nation of Israel didn't get jealous, they just got aroused. Wow, we also want, you know, it happens, I see it, I can only testify on myself. Sometimes I would, let's say, sit with all my kids, and one of my kids will come and start massaging my shoulders. And you know, massages are always welcomed. So suddenly, all of them come. I want to massage you. Then one grabs my hand, another grabs my leg, the other one the foot, and I'm like sitting there like, you know, and I have kids massaging all my body parts. So why, usually if I would tell them by themselves, come massage, no. But when they see that one does it, then everybody wants. So same here, the souls of Israel, they saw the angels carrying Hashem in such love, in such a pleasant love, they were like, oh, we also want to carry you. ולפעמים כשיעשה אדם מצווה אחת בשלמות, אפשר לו לדלג את כל המדרגות בפעם אחד לבוא לאהבה שלמה. Wow, look at that. It says sometimes a person can do one mitzvah, but he does it בשלמות. Completed. Completion. 100%. אפשר לו לדלג על כל המדרגות. He jumps all the levels. He skips all the levels. And in one shot, he comes into a complete love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu with one mitzvah. To reach a level of real love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's not easy at all. But obviously it's possible. וזהו ודגלו עליי אהבה. The verse in Shir HaShirim that says, ודגלו עליי אהבה. אל תקרי ודגלו, אלא ודילוגו. Don't say דגלו, his flag. Rather, דילוגו, him skipping. לדלג is to skip. So why skipping? Because you're skipping all the levels. I've mentioned several times that in the book that is called The Gates of Reincarnation, Arizal explains that in the level of Ruach, the level of Nefesh, the Nefesh has to climb 50 levels in order to refine itself and to reach to a completion. How does he get to the number 50? Because the souls correspond to the worlds, and each world has 5 partsufim. The Nefesh comes from the world of Asiya. So in Asiya there are 5 partsufim, and each partsuf has 10 sefirot. So that in itself, 5 times 10 is 50. Very quick calculation. The Rizal says that the Nefesh has to climb 50 levels of all the world of Asiya in order to reach the 50th level. If it does that, then it's called Nefesh Metukenet. The soul has reached the rectification, the Nefesh. Then it gets to the next level, Rama Yitzira, and it receives the Ruach. The downfall in the system is that you can climb and climb and climb and climb and climb, and one shot you fall. One sin.
The woman in the red dress.
Yeah, the woman in the red dress, and whoop, you fall to the bottom of the game. So I gave an analogy that it's equivalent to the game that we called Chutes and Ladders. We call it snakes and ladders. But sometimes when I say snakes and ladders, people will correct me and say, in England it's snakes and ladders. I think in America they call it maybe chutes and ladders.
Chutes and ladders, yeah.
But nevertheless,
they have a separate room name, a religious name, and then that's called snakes and ladders.
Okay. So we call it snakes and ladders.
And they have pictures of if you do something wrong as a vera, then that can go down.
That's exactly the analogy that I gave, that you, you know, yeah, that's the analogy that I gave, that you look at this game, there's a board, and you throw dice, and you start walking on the board, and your aim is to reach to the top. And if you hit a ladder, then you jump up. And if you hit a snake, then you slide down. So the snake, whoever invented this game probably learned Kabbalah, and he knew that when you meet the snake, then he pulls you down. The Nachash. So this is the game, up and down and up and down, and whoever gets to the top is the winner. Same thing here, when I have to refine my Nefesh, I can hit the snake. The snake will, the Yetzirah will trick me and I'll fall down in my level. Then I have to brush all the dirt off, Itnari ma'afar kumi, and move on. Livshi bigdei tifar techami, move on, just keep on moving. Then Yehush ba'olam. So, but sometimes I can hit a ladder. And the ladder will jump me to a high level. This is called to skip, ledaleg. Because a person, he says here very clearly, now we have a clear source, that a person can do one mitzvah, bishlemut, the mitzvah has to be perfect. with all your heart, with the right kavanah, with the right intention, no ego, no desire, no intentions, no negative, of course, no agenda. One mitzvah, and you shoot all the way up. You skip all the levels, and you reach to the highest level of ahava shlema, complete love. And this is this shoots and ladders. You just jump on a ladder, and whoop, you jump up. This is called dilug. In Shir HaShirim, it says, V'diglo alai ahava. His flag comes to me as love. Our sages say, no, don't say diglo, ella dilugo. Don't say the flag, rather the dilug, the skipping. Alai ahava. When you do a dilug, a skipping, then alai, on me, I bring this love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, remez ledvarenu, as a hint to what we're saying, sheyachol ha'adam ladaleg velavol lidei ahava shlema. That a person can skip and come into complete love, to a very high level of love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is what it says in the Gemara, that they have fulfilled and received, learned and received. Lemala ma shekiblu lemata Yisrael, kiblu olem haTorah. How did they manage to overpower the decree of Haman? On Purim, they really received the Torah. On Har Sinai, they got it. But on Purim, they actually really received it. They took it on themselves. Kiblu aleihem haTorah. On Har Sinai, they just got it. But on Purim, they said, okay, now we're actually really mamash taking it. Exactly, the Naseh. In Mount Sinai, they do they did the Nishma. They will hear. Now they did the Maseh. As b'yemei HaChashverosh, at the time of the HaChashverosh, ולכאורה כי עד ימי אחשוורוש לא קיבלו להם את התורה. Seemingly it seems that they didn't receive the Torah till the time of אחשוורוש. אלא העניין הוא שלא היו יכולים לבוא לידי הרצון הזה של אהבה עד שראו גודל הנס שנעשה להם בימי אחשוורוש. It's not that they didn't receive the Torah. Rather, they didn't reach to the level of this desire of this unbelievable love to Hashem only after they saw the miracle that happened in Purim. וכשנעשה נס לאדם מחמת זה, יבוא אדם לידי אהבת הבורא, ברוך הוא באמת. When Hashem does for you an unbelievable miracle, that's how you come to this unbelievable level of love, of you really love the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this is what it means when it says in the Megillah, וזהו אורה. It says, וליהודים הייתה אורה ושמחה וססון ועיקר. So the word אורה, what is אורה? Well, you can translate it as light. But it says, no, Ora zo Torah. The Ora is the Torah. Rotze lomar shebao lidei ahava, they came to such a high level of love, because Hashem saved them, ve'haor shel haTorah, and the light of the Torah, michamat godel hanes hanes alem, and the light of the Torah actually penetrated, finally, it penetrated into their souls. Then it says, la'yudim hayta Ora ve'simcha, simcha is very simple, simcha, it's actually the interpretation is that Ora is the Torah, Simcha is the festivals, and Vikar is the Tfilin. Vikar is the Tfilin that we have. Kasher perashti kvar Tfilin udvekut. Tfilin is hinting on this closeness and this unity with Hashem. V'az kiblu lehem ta Torah. Then they accepted the Torah beratzon, with will. Shebao lidei madrigat ahava. Because they came to the level of Ahava. In the mountain, they received it with fear. They were all trembling there. In Purim, they received it with love. Bezrat Hashem will continue tomorrow with 13, 14, and 15. 13, 14, and Tetvav. But this is concluding the two levels how we can serve Hashem. One, what we spoke about, is sweetening the judgments. This type of serving of Hashem is just pulling mercy. How? When I arouse this unbelievable love. When I arouse love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm able to pull down on me this shefa of mercy, of rachamim. This will overpower any din. And that can be done with great love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And I need to arouse this love to Hashem. What is a good trick to arouse the love to Hashem? Don't concentrate on 5,000 mitzvot and just to do check, check, check. Concentrate on one mitzvah and do it in completion, perfect. That will jump you up to a very high level. Now, don't take my words out of context and saying, oh, Alon just told me that I can only concentrate on one mitzvah and the rest I can ignore. So that's not what I'm saying. You have to do all the mitzvot. I'm not giving you a discount right now, and definitely not a coupon, because it's signed by Adar. Yeah, I'm just saying that do all the mitzvot, but find one mitzvah that you do it perfect. Or wait for the opportunity. The Kadosh Baruch Hu is so kind, we're just so ignorant that we don't jump on the opportunity. Sometimes an opportunity comes and you think. And when you think too much, you lose the opportunity. There's a lady that joins us for classes a lot. She comes with a wheelchair, Tzipi. And she comes from far away. Mamash mesirut nefesh. You know what it is for her to come? She lives all the way on the other side of the Midrachov. It's not an easy way to go up and down, just going the hill to the Iriah building. And she lives on the sixth floor, and she comes here. She wants to learn Torah. It inspires her and so forth. But sometimes we need somebody to take her back. So you will hear that I always announce, if there's anyone that can take Tzipi back home, please do. She needs help. And sometimes you see smart people, I don't even finish the announcement, I'll take her. And you know, you hear in the background, ding, 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 and the winner of the mitzvah is going to Olam Haba. Sometimes I say, please, if somebody can take her, and I hear, you know, the wheels in the head are squeaking. Thinking, should I take her, should I not take her? It's heavy now, wheelchair all the way up the hill. And so some people are quick to decide. They grab the mitzvah right away. 5 minutes of pushing up a hill, a wheelchair, you can be sitting in Shamayim, in Gan Eden. So, and some people, oh no, should I not? Rabot machshavot belevish. Many thoughts are running in the mind. It's not in my direction. It looks like it's about to rain. And so Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes throw an opportunity, jump on it. And you have to be very quick to decide. And this could be the mitzvah that shoots you like a rocket to Shamayim, because you did bishlemut, no ego here, no agenda, no what am I getting out of here, no it's thinking too much. So we have to be, when it comes to mitzvot, quick to act right away. Why? Because that might be the mitzvah that you're going to do b'shlemut, 100%. And you're doing it with all your heart, and this can be serving for you a jumping board to such a high level that you know those games, when we were a kid, there was a game that we had in the amusement parks, and you take a big hammer, and you hit something, and rip, it goes up. And the higher it goes up, then you either get the small teddy bear or the big teddy bear or the bag of popcorn, whatever, how strong you are. But if it goes all the way up and you hit the bell, the ding, 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 you get to choose whatever you want. And then you're walking with a teddy bear this big in the amusement park. You know, you can barely carry the teddy bear. And then you see a car driving and a teddy bear is like on the roof. So, but nevertheless, this is the game. You hit it on the spot, goes all the way up, ding, 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 you reach to the level of Ahava, real Ahava. It's called Ahava Shlema. You love the Kadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't matter what happens, air, fire or water, you are Davuk, you're glued to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Mezrat Hashem, we should know how to activate both ways, serving Hashem in a way, learning my Torah and serving Hashem that I can sweeten judgments. That has to be done constantly. Then I right away catch myself doing something bad and I sweeten the judgment right away. Okay, I slipped. The word slipped out of my mouth. I'm taking it back. And needless to say, serving Hashem in a way that I'm not sweetening judgments, rather arousing rachamim, arousing mercy. And this is much higher level. Needless to say, that can be done with arousing love to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bezrat Hashem, we should merit b'emet to reach to those levels of service of Hashem, so we can receive the Torah with a whole heart, with a complete heart, and Bezrat Hashem, merit to see the coming of Mashiach with the merit of our beautiful mitzvot.